Okay. All right. So before we, you figured it out. Okay. You just take a chair over there. Okay. Before we get back into the piece, which we were in the middle of, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. I just wanted to share with you a thought that I had. On this week's parasha, Parashas Beshalach, I thought it's something that people would appreciate, and I figured I would share it. It taps into davening as well, so it's on the topic of tefillah as well. I saw Rav Dov Yaffa Zatzal in his sefer. He brings a bit of a drush. The shame, I don't remember who he quoted. on the pasuk, "V'tzehi lachem ba'amalek," and I go out to fight with Amalek, wage war against Amalek. Machar, tomorrow, anochi nitzav arosh ha'givah. So he, as we know, Amalek is the representative of evil in the world. So in a certain sense, right, you can label Amalek, you can switch the word Amalek for Yetzirah, for Satan. Okay, it's anything we learn about fighting Amalek is also a lesson in fighting against the Yetzirah. So he says that there's a special Yetzirah, which we all certainly know, which is to push things off. I want to be Mekabel myself, but I'm going to start it next Zman. Start it next week, start it tomorrow. That's the Yetzirah of Machar, tomorrow. So it says that's the way you could read into the Pasuk, right? We already know that you're allowed to manipulate the Pasuk in different ways to get different readings of it, right? Based on the combination of the words, how they are listed together. So read it, V'tzehi lachem b'amalek machar. Go wage war with the Amalek that tells you to do things machar. Right, that you have to mizchazik to do things right away. We don't push things off. That's the famous trick of the Yitzhar. He actually goes in to explain why it works like that. It's very easy to make kabbalas in the future, but if it's not a kabbalah that's starting right away, it's not gonna hold water. I don't want to get sidetracked, so I don't want to get into that. But it got me thinking that there may be another Amalek machar. Okay. And that is, it's something which has been spoken about, I think, a lot in over the last number of years, and that's the fact that people spend basically their whole life looking at the future, right? In general, we all have things that we're working on. Even if we're speaking about raising a family, right? We raise a family and with the hopes of marrying them off and seeing them out, getting them out of the house, right? And seeing nachas from them in the future. But it could be a project that you're working on. It could be a sefer you're writing. It could be a masechti you're learning. You're always looking forward to the siyum. You're looking forward to the hatzlacha, to the success. And the success is always something of the future. That's the way we perceive success. It's always something that we're lacking now and we want to complete. We want to reach a certain shleimus, a certain perfection of something. Now, that is the Yetzirah of Machar. That's another Yetzirah of Machar, of always looking for the future. Because what happens is you go through life always never really satisfied, never really happy, always concerned about the future. Okay, it's not a matter of course you're supposed to look at the future as far as motivation and encouragement, sometimes looking at the future can help us because right now it looks bleak, so we remind ourselves that okay, soon it's going to be gone, soon it's going to be over, soon it's going to be whatever. Fine, sometimes it could be consoling, sometimes it can insert hope into us, but more than often what it does is it takes us out of the present. It takes us out of the ability to live life at the moment. And And that's the big, big amolek of machar, the big, big yetzahara of tomorrow, that the Torah maybe is hinting to us that hilachem, say hilachem, go out and fight against that. I pointed out, I said this to my family, that, you know, what happens, you live, Bez Hashem, everybody should be marach yamim, and in health, in good health, but at some point, you know, people retire, and then they might not have their work projects. So hopefully, you know, obviously the good way to retire is to have your own personal projects that you're going to work on, whatever kind of projects they are, if they're learning projects, or if they're other types of projects, whatever it is. But more than often, you know, you do meet up with people that when they reach a certain age, they can no longer live in the future because they don't really have that much, you know, to plan for, to hope for. Maybe if there was zeicha to have a family and to have grandchildren, so they'll be looking forward for another generation or another grandchild, another great-grandchild, another great-great-great-grandchild, whatever it is. But what happens very often is that they end up living in the past. The past that they were so eager to get out of, you know, of having the children yanking you and not giving you peace of mind and not giving you time, whatever it is. You're looking back on the past like, oh, you remember those days when we had the family trips that you hated while they were going on, right? You start all of a sudden, you start fantasizing about the past and you start really, you know, now which one was it? When you were going through it, it was like torture. And then when you're past it and looking back, you're missing it. Because everything that we go through has positive aspects, but then it has negative aspects as well. And the tendency of people is to get sidetracked by the difficulties, sidetracked by the things which are not, you know, we prefer not being in this picture right now. And but then as time goes on, and you passed it, then you're like looking back and longing for the past that's gone, which you didn't really appreciate while you were going through. So that's like the flip side of the machar. You know, you leave the machar, you live the machar till it becomes avar rachok, and then you're looking for the avar. But a person lives like that. They never lived the hoveh, they never lived the present, and they missed out on all the brachas and the tovus that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them. So that's something which I think is very important for us, and I think maybe that is also Ramuz hinted to in the pasuk, how to fight this, because the next words are Anochi Nitzav. Anochi, the Maral says in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Mem Ches, he describes what's the difference between the word Ani and the word Anochi. And he says, Hefresh ben milat Ani u ben milat Anochi, the difference between those two words, ki milat Anochi hu more al atzmi shel hamedaber. Anochi shows, it the subject of Anochi is, it shows the essence of the speaker. Ki'ilu amar ani atzmi asiti zeh, as if he says, I myself did it. So the emphasis is on the self of the speaker. Aval ani more al hamedaber ba'ado bilvad. But I just shows about the person speaking to the other, who it is. It's like more technical. It's not the essence of the person, it's not the ikar, it's right. Ein b'lashon hazeh she'yamash malasmo. It doesn't mean anything about himself. It's v'hu hefech milatata. All ani is just the opposite of you. Okay, it's more technical term. The Malbim says the same thing in this coming parsha, this week's Bez Hashem parsha's Yisro, by Anoichi Hashem Lekecha. So he says the same idea. You could take a look over there, where he says something very similar, that ani medayeket hanasu u'milat anochi medayeket hanose. Okay, I'm not going to get into it, but it's the same idea. So I think that's now the Anochi, right, is the way, but it's more than just the Anochi. The Hagdar of the Anochi is the Anochi Nitzav. Nitzav, I think, is a Lashon which is living now. Like Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You're all standing. It's not just Omed. It's more than Omed. Right, standing Omed is like more technical. Nitzav is a situation of being. And that's the Anochi Nitzav, is the way to be combat the machar of Amalek, the living in the future, like always concerned and worried, instead of appreciating the now. That's the Anochi Nitzav. Focus on what you have. And I was thinking that this might be another aspect of what Chazal were kevea in Shmona Esrei. The three first brachas, the Gemara and Bracha says that the three first brachas are like an eved that comes to praise his master before he's going to ask him for something, right? He says this shevach. The next brachas of the Shmona Esrei, the 12 middle brachas, are all like an evet that's coming to be mevakesh pras miraboy. He's coming to request things, because those are the bakashas. And then the last three are called the brachas of Aida, ke evet, like an evet who's thanking his master for what he's given him. So I was thinking that maybe like another aspect, you know, of it is, I mean, he's asked for something, and now he's like thanking Hashem as if he's very certain he's getting it. He's like thanking him. But it's not just thanking him for what he just asked for, it's thanking him in general. We thank Hashem in Moedim for and everything that you do for us, right? It's never ending. I was thinking that maybe that's part of Chazal's teaching us how to focus, or how to relate to lacking of something in our lives. Yeah. You have 12 brachas of Bakashas Pratiyas, where you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fill what's missing in my life, to fill what I don't have, to help me out with through the difficulties. Now, when you focus on that, that could bring you down. You get pretty depressed. If you're focused on like what you're lacking, right, and asking of Hashem, so it can get you down into a stupor. But so then Chazal tell us, okay, the next thing is give Haidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't lose sight of what you have. Don't let what you're lacking, don't finish that. Don't finish off with that thought. Go back to, always go back and recheck your brachas and your tovus, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, and then thank Hashem, and that's the healthy way that you'll still appreciate the tovus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, really, you know, if I would have to order the Shmona Esrei, I would have ordered it differently, right? I would have praised Hashem. Then I would have thanked Hashem. You know, and after you thank Hashem, you say, you know, and by the way, if you don't mind, I would also, you know, I think there's something very big, besides the idea of maybe being moida even on those brachas before you actually got them, but being moida afterwards, that we should be in that state of mind. That should bring us back into the state of mind of, you know something? It's true, you're missing some things, but you have an awful lot of bracha in your life. You have an awful lot to thank for, and that's what we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day for the things that we do have. And then and then even in those things that are difficult for us sometimes, we can start to notice very off bracha that's in it. I mean, you know, a person's not sleeping at night because he's the baby's crying, right? The baby's waking him up. It's very hard inside him to function the next day, right? But at the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, you have a baby, and there are people that don't, and they're davening that they should, and they're suffering that they are. So that's a big, that's a nisayon, it's a koshi, it's a difficulty, that's a massive bracha at the same time. The bracha is bigger than the difficulty, you know? And we have to keep those things in focus. Anyway, so that was a thought I had that maybe we can take out of the Tse Vilochim Ba'amolek, Machar Anochi Nitzav. Okay. All right, now, so let's get back to the Meimaroim. So we were in the middle of a piece of Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu, that Hashem, right, sanctified us with his mitzvahs, and he commanded us. So Rav Yaakov Moshe brought down the Gemara Kiddushin, where Rav Yosef illustrates for us through his own personal experience, you can say, right, he was a blind person, who we know as Potter from the mitzvahs, and he used to say that anybody is going to tell me that the halacha is like a Yehuda, that a summa is Potter from the mitzvahs, that the halacha really is like that he's Potter from the mitzvahs, I'll make a yomtiv for the rabbanim, because that's gewaldig. I want to know that I'm like really exempt. Because by being exempt, right, I'm not commanded to do the mitzvah, and I'm still doing it. So, like, that shows my love for Hashem. That's like, it's very, very exciting to be in that spot where even though I'm not commanded, I'm still doing them. Until he heard from Reb Chanina, in the name of Reb Chanina, that the one who is commanded and does the mitzvahs is greater than the one who is not commanded and does the mitzvahs. So then already he turned face and said, okay, forget it. Anybody that tells me that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to make the yomtiv, because obviously I want to be mitzvah v'leisa. Okay, so Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, l'maisa, you see that Rabbi Yosef had this suffix, what's greater? And of course, if he had this suffix, so there's an aspect of Elu ve'elu divilakim chayim here, where both things are true. And then Rabbi Yaakov Moshe explained that on the one hand, the person who was not commanded and does the mitzvah, so that shows his purity of soul. That's an expression of his yearning to fill the mitzvahs of Hashem, which is greater than the person just doing the mitzvahs because he's commanded. So that's at a very, very, very high level. In that sense, the person who's mitzvah ve'ena mitzvah ve'ese is greater than the mitzvah ve'ese that doesn't have that expression in his keeping of the mitzvahs. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said, if it's coming from you, meaning you're not commanded, and it's coming from you, so the level of your mitzvah, and therefore the level of what your mitzvah can affect, the levels of worlds that your mitzvah can affect, are only according to the level you are on, the level that you are able to conceptualize, that you're able to understand, wherever you're holding. And that's automatically limited, because all human beings are limited in their abilities of conceptualization, of level of understanding, level of experience. And if you're doing, as opposed to if you're doing a mitzvah, mitzad, the mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the mitzvah, he puts into the fabric of his tzivui, the connection between the highest to the very lowest. And that's why he created us with the neshama and the guf. On the one hand, we have a guf, which is from the ofer, which is mamish from all the way, the lowest part of the bria. And we have a neshama that's coming all the way from the Ruma Ma'alois, from all the way up top, from the Ein Sof, you know, it's from the Kisei HaKavod, Mitach Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that way, because we come from two extremes, we are able to affect the entire system, but only through the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu embedded in the mitzvah that connection, that tying together all the worlds through our mitzvah. But without the tzivui, we would only be able to tap into whatever, depending on where we're holding, what our level is. In this way, it's coming mitzad the mitzave, the ability to affect all the worlds. That comes mitzad the mitzave. So in that sense, of course, the mitzvah v'aisa is greater. And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, so the ma'isa, they're both very good, right? Shneim ke'echa toivim v'yafim. Each one mitzad it's ma'ila. That's where we're holding. Now, shtei abchinas halalu. Let's see where he goes with this. Shtei abchinot halalu shel mitzuv ve'oise v'shel einenu mitzuv ve'oise hen bechinas Torah shebeksav v'Torah shebalpeh. These two aspects of mitzuv ve'oise, these two dargas, are the aspects of Torah shebeksav and Torah shebalpeh. Right? Meaning, the mitzuv ve'oise is like the Torah shebeksav. The Eino Mitzvah of Aisa is like the Geder of Torah Shebalpeh, and we'll see why. She'etzem afradatam lichtav lebalpeh, the very separation of Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebalpeh, ba kedei she'titkayemeno shtei habchinas miyachad. It came in order to allow these two bechinas to, coexist. Torah Shebiksav, hi bechinas mitzvah of Aisa. V'Torah Shebalpeh, and Torah Shebalpeh, shelechatchila mesigim ota Yisrael midaitam, which initially Klal Yisrael is masig, they chap, they understand, they attain the Torah Shebalpeh through their own das, right, through their minds, because it comes through the experience of the human mind. Harei hi kebechinas eino mitzuv v'oise, That is like a bechin of eina mitzuv of oise, because it's coming through the human experience. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us those words. He gave us the Yud Gimel Midas HaShatar Nidrash HaSpan. He gave us the Lamed Beis Midas. He gave us all the tools that we need to be able to get things. And then on top of that, of course, there's Siyag, and there's all sorts of, you know, Gdarim, and where Chazal made fences that we shouldn't come. So there are layers and layers. But all of the Torah Shebaal Peh ultimately is coming from the human involvement in understanding the Torah. And because it's coming from the Das of the Jewish mind, it's like a Bechina, relatively speaking, it's like a Bechina, an aspect of not being commanded and doing. It's actually interesting, the Sivas that talks about this idea a little bit, where he talks about the Isurim, Isur Darabonon, he talks about Isur Darabonon, that's kind of what it comes out, is that the Ratzon, the Isur Darabonon is the Ratzon Hashem. That get into it now, but he talks about if a person sold to somebody else something that was Asur Darabonon, and they already ate it, like, what's the Chiyuv, is there a Chiyuv of money or not? And we'll leave it for a different time, maybe. Anyway, so he says like this, Mikol makom, nevertheless, achar kach motzim es kol ha-Torah shebaal peh, remuze b'Torah shebiksav. Afterwards, okay, after the Torah shebaal peh has come down, meaning whatever those halachas are, whatever, right, the Torah shebaal peh has been figured out, we find it remuze b'Torah shebiksav. We find it hinted to in Torah shebiksav. Minola, whatever, we have, you know, psukim and the Chazal, we find the remazim in the Torah. The lekamidid, the leremiz ba'araisa, because we know there's just nothing that's not hinted to in the Torah. Vaz choseret habchina shel ena mitzuva oisa lios nichleles bebchina sa mitzuva oisa, and then that bechina of ena mitzuva oisa comes back now and becomes incorporated in the bechina of mitzuva oisa. It's like rejoined into the bechina of mitzvah Aisa. It's interesting, a little bit like, right, the Gemara looks for the source for keeping the Rabbanah is Leisosar. In a certain sense, you see that same Yisoid. It's like when we're going to do things, when we're going to keep Hilchas or Mitzvahs, the Rabbanah, Lemaisa, that's also hinted to in the Torah that you have, that they're on a certain level, you could even consider them Daraisa, because you're Mechoyv. I mean, that's why we say, Asher Kedishano b'mitzvayisav v'tzivanu, right? We make a bracha, where's the tzivui? That's what Chazal is looking for, a pasuk in the Torah, which will tell us it goes back up to a level of Daraisa in a certain sense, that you can make a bracha on it. So it's like Nichlal, this Bechin of Eina Mitzvayisa becomes Nichlal in the Bechin of Mitzvayisa. Torah Shebaal Peh becomes Nichlal in the Torah Shebiksav. There are two inyanim in Torah Shebaal Peh. Mitchila litzoret etzem haTorah Shebaal Peh. The initial step is to create the essence of Torah Shebaal Peh, to come up with the Torah Shebaal Peh, to come up with those chidushim. V'achar kach lachzir al Torah Shebiksav, and then after that, to bring it back into Torah Shebiksav. Lamshich lebchinas mitzvah oise, to be mamshich to the bechina of mitzvah oise. You know, the Goyin, in all his perushim, you see this was his mahalach. This was his bechina, the bechina of the Goyin. The Gron, everything he's doing, he's always bringing back the Torah into the original sources. So in Bir HaGron, the Shulchan Aruch, right, he's bringing it back into the Gemara. Sometimes maybe even into a Pasuk, but in general, bring it back into the Gemara, into the Mishnayos. But, you know, you see in other Sfarim, whether it's Adaras Elio, or it's in Zohar he does a lot. You know, you see he's always bringing it back into the psukim as well. It's like showing where the Torah Shebaal Peh came out of the pasuk, and that's like I think is like this bechina of finding how Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, it comes back into the Torah Shebiksav. Again, it's layers, because for us the Gemara is Torah Shebiksav, versus the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, which is Teresh Baal Peh. It's not just me that says this. Rabbi Sora Salanter writes it, if I remember correctly, right? That the Gemara is out for us, Teresh Biksav. You know, so there's there are layers. There, it's a layered development of the Torah, but ultimately, everything comes back into the Torah, and that's what we're supposed to get to. So the first step is understanding the Torah Shebal Peh, which means then, let's say, passing the halachas or whatever it is, getting to understand it, getting to the bottom of the sugyas, and then the second step is bring it back into Torah Shebiksav. Oh, I just remember now, they say that was the going the last year of his life. That, or the end of his life, that was what he worked on. He worked on figuring out how to bring everything back into the psukim of the Torah. That's actually what he learned. Spent his last year learning Chumash to understand how everything comes back. The Torah Shebal Peh is all there. So now says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, Ukezois tzrich aliyas avodas ha'adam Yisrael, and this is how the avoid of the person, the Jewish person, should be. L'kayim is called mitzvah satara, to perform all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Asha oifen asiyosan einena yidua lanu ela al yedei Torah Shebal Peh, which we only know how to perform them through Torah Shebal Peh, right? We only know the details of mitzvahs and how to keep the mitzvahs because of Torah Shebal Peh. But oifen kezeh, so we have to be mekayim the mitzvahs in such a way shegam la'achar sheshavu lebechinas mitzvah v'aiseh, that even after they go back into Bechina of Mitzvah V'Oise, even after we've brought them, in other words, we're keeping them Al Tzivu, you know, we're keeping them because, yeah, we know we have to keep them, even Darabonans, we have to keep the Pratim of Mitzvah Tfilin, which we only know through Teresh Baal Peh, Halacha L'Meshe Messina, whatever, but these are all things that are Bechina's Mitzvah V'Oise, we keep them in a Bechina Mitzvah V'Oise way, right, in a Mitzvah V'Oise way. But we have to then leroimimam lereishis atzilusan, to elevate them to the beginning of their atzilus, the beginning of their coming into being. Let's call it kimayshahayu betchilas yitzirasan, like they were at the beginning of their form, the development. Bebchinas einemitzuvos, and the bechin of einemitzuvos. I had difficulty understanding what in the world he's talking about, and I think I got now what he says. What he's saying, I think what he's saying is like this: the bechina of the eina mitzvah oisa is the person that's doing it with a gavaldiga yearning, a gavaldiga cheshek, a gavaldiga love for Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to do the mitzvahs, right? Like we said, goydel zikuch nafshi. It shows the tremendous purity of this person's soul, right? The person that's keeping the Torah mitzvahs. Just because it's mitzvah oise, you don't have that same excitement. It's not on the same level as the or at least it doesn't. It generally doesn't have to be. It's certainly not there, like the person that's ein mitzvah oise. But the avoid of the person is that to do the mitzvah oise, which we said has its aspect of it affects all the worlds, which the ein mitzvah oise can, but bring it back up to the purity level. Bring it up to the level of a person that does it with that excitement that's coming out of his cheshik to serve Hashem. Don't do it in a way where it's just like, I have no choice. We have to bring back, we have to bring the mitzvah v'aisa into that beauty of eina mitzvah v'aisa, where there's like a freshness. You're not doing it because you have to, you're doing it because you want to. So yes, you have to do the mitzvah in the bechina v'aisa, but get it to the point where, you know something, even if I wasn't commanded to, I would love to, I would do that mitzvah. Even if I wasn't commanded to, I would do this. That is the level that we should bring ourselves up to. V'loy kol echad zeicha v'kayim avoy dezu b'shleimus, and certainly, like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says at the end here, not everybody is able, not everybody merits doing this avoyda b'shleimus. Huh?
More than just doing the Torah and Mitzvah of Yosef, but if it's Mechina Torah Shabbat Peh, he worked it out himself.
Yeah.
That's the way. Torah Shabbat Peh, it's clearly you figured out yourself that this is all that needs to be done. It's more exciting than just some.
You're saying also Mitzad the Limud Shabbat Dover.
Yeah, it's more exciting. If you figure out yourself, it's much more. So you might, if you figure out yourself, there's some, you know, some chiddush you discovered. There's a new idea in this whole mitzvah that needs to. Yeah, but it's a chiddush, the actual kiva mitzvah, the avonis mitzvah. It's much more exciting than some doing it because, okay, I'm going to do this voluntarily.
Right. Okay, that would be a good technique. It's true. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter actually said, Avi's pointing out that when a person figures out, you know, goes to the sugya, learns things up, and maybe he's mechadish in the sugya, but even just getting clarity in the sugya, he feels connected to it. He feels he understands it more, and then of course he's able to mimkayim that mitzvah with excitement, because he has a chibra to it. And it's true. And Yisrael Salanter actually prescribed that as a derech of refuah in mitzvahs. Right, a person that needs to be mischazik in a certain area. So he said, you should learn the chazal. You should learn the sugyas bi'iyun, because when you learn the sugyas, it's not just awareness. At least in my understanding, I think he says this mefurish. It's not just an awareness issue. Okay, learn the hilchas shmiras lashon, so that you're now going to know what to keep and you're going to keep it in your consciousness. That's true. That's very, very true. But there's something more than that. When you are mashkia, you invest in something, you become connected to that something. So if you invest in learning a sugya, learning bimavar halachas, you become connected to those halachas. There's a natural bond of love that comes with you, between you and that sugya, by your investment into it. So if a person wants to be mechazik in a certain area of his life, the best way to do that is to invest in that area. And the beginning of that investment, the main body of that investment perhaps, is the learning of the Torah on that sugya. Yeah.
I got a bit confused in the last paragraph, because the second last paragraph is building up how the Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is the bechina of Eina Mitzvah V'Oisa, is our independence, needs to be brought back to the bechina of Mitzvah V'Oisa.
Right.
Then in the last paragraph, he flips it on its head and says, no, we want to try and make our Mitzvah V'Oisa actions, our mitzvahs, into an Eina Mitzvah V'Oisa.
Right, he's saying...
I was hoping that he was finished off, because I had this question, how do we take our Eina Mitzvah V'Oisa, Avodas Hashem, and plug that into Mitzvah V'Oisa?
Yeah.
Like you're saying, Torah Sheba'al Peh needs to be brought back to Torah Sheba'al Peh.
So that's part of my difficulty that I had in this paragraph, was I was expecting it to go the opposite way, to the point that I was like thinking maybe it's a mistake, like, you know, maybe like it's like you know, because like I was expecting also, like the way he said in the previous paragraph, that you're bringing the Torah Sheba'al Peh and bringing it back into Torah Sheba'al Peh. So I was expecting it to go from the Ein Mitzvah V'Oisa and bring it up into the Mitzvah V'Oisa, but he does the opposite. So I think what he was saying over there was, when he said that bring it back into the Mitzvah Isa, those were the two inyanim that there are in Torah Sheba'al Peh itself. Right? So he made that division within Torah Sheba'al Peh, right? Shnei inyanim yeshnam eifo b'Torah Sheba'al Peh, and that's what, those are the two levels. But we have the overall general category of Torah Sheba'al Ksav versus Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's where the Kazos Tzrich Elias comes in. That's the structure over here. Whereas the previous paragraph, he discusses Torah Sheba'al Ksav and Torah Sheba'al Peh. Within Torah Sheba'al Peh, he tells us that there's an inyan to bring Torah Sheba'al Peh back into and find it into Torah Sheba'al Ksav. But as far as our avoda goes, we have to try to be mekayim the Torah in a way where it's like you have the Torah Sheba'al Ksav aspect, where you're doing it because you're mitzvah v'oisa, but then to bring it up to the freshness of and the excitement of the one who is Eina Mitzvah Isa. Okay. Any more questions, Ha'aris? Rafi, you have something?
Josh, from the beginning.
Yeah.
Rabbi was about the Machar. Mm-hmm. Rabbi saw Rabbi Ezra Neuberger. He's very into like accepting the present moment and being okay and comfortable with how things are. So he said once that it's impossible to have proper kavanah during tefillah if you're not accepting what is.
Mm-hmm. If you're not accepting of what is,
you're not like okay and present and okay in the right present moment.
Yeah, I've mentioned in the past that the Arizal says at the beginning of Shara Kavanas and Tefillah, and it was like a startling. I'll actually read it to you because I'm home, so I can actually take it out. Hold on. I think it's on the first page. If not, then I won't read it to you. But let's see. Yeah. I think we've read it in this shiur together in the past, but it's certainly worth saying it again. Osur la adam litpalel tfilato bitzavon. It's osur to daven in sadness. Vim nasekach, and if it's done, ein nafsho yechoyla lekabel or ha'elyon animshel chabes hatfila. A person cannot receive the or ha'elyon that comes to a person during davening. When you confess, when you say vidu in your davening, or mefardi chatam, perhaps in Shema Koleinu, for example, right? Then alone is it good to be sad. Al b'shara tefila, at the rest of the davening, nimshach lo nezek nifla gadol ayidei atzvusai. A person draws to himself terribly great damage through his sadness. You have to show before the Rabbanim Shalom a tremendous submission and an awe. But be as happy as possible. Like a servant serving Hashem with his master with tremendous simcha. But if you serve him with sadness, the avoida is rejected. It's disgusting. He's not happy with it. A master doesn't want his eved grunting while he's doing his service, right? So this is a big limud, and I think that it taps into what you're saying also about the davening in the now. How do you daven for something? The person's lacking. He has Hashem Yirachim. He has health issues that are really serious. There's something coming up, whatever. Something going on. You know, he's crying. He's the guy's out. No. That's not the way to daven to Hashem to cry your eyes out. You are before the Rabbeinu Shem who loves you. He wants to give for you, and he wants you to serve him in this way of a tefillah. Serve him besimcha. You're going to get more that way. It's a phenomenal thing. In other words, accept the situation. This is what Hashem wants from you right now. He wants you to daven for refuah. Okay, but be besimcha about it. It changes the whole mindset of what tefillah is about and how to go about it. All right. Shavua Tov to everyone. Okay.
Shavua Tov.
Good luck.